Hi, I'm Chase Bunker, but you're not here for me. You're here for my guest. He is one-fourth of the ultimate Beatles tribute band, the Fab Four. You can see them at the Florida Theater on December 14th, where they'll perform the music from the movie Help. Tickets on sale now. He is Gavin Pring. Gavin, how are you?
Doing well, Chase. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks a lot for coming on. First, I have to ask the very generic question. I'm sure you get this a lot, and I apologize. What can fans expect when they attend a Fab Four show?
They can expect excitement, maybe a transportation back. If they've seen the Beatles or are familiar with the Beatles, maybe it's a trip back down memory lane to what it was like when they were younger and they saw the Beatles. And for people who've never seen the Beatles, it's almost like a fly on the wall situation of looking at the Beatles in their heyday in the 60s and seeing what all the fuss was about.
Now, I've heard that the Beatles team can be very litigious when it comes to their music. Have you guys had to deal with any issues with them?
Litigious in what way?
Like, in terms of, like, have they said, hey, you can't play, like, this song, or we don't like how you're doing this or that?
No, they've never reached out to us directly to say that we, you know, that we're playing the songs wrong in any way whatsoever. In fact, we've had compliments. One time we were sound checking for the Nokia Live show that we were doing, and Paul McCartney was actually sound checking next door, obviously at the stadium, and a friend of ours said, oh, the Fab Four are next door sound checking, why don't you go and say hello? And he said, oh yeah, they were better than we were, you know. Or what he said was, they sound more like us than we did.
Oh wow. I feel like that's the ultimate compliment. Like, no matter what article is ever written about you, no matter who says what, no matter how many awards you win, nothing, I don't think, will ever top that.
Yeah, I think if it was recorded, it would be way better. But it's like it's almost like Chinese whispers. A friend of a friend said this, so we don't know. Hopefully it's true.
Now, is it true that you actually performed with Paul McCartney?
Yeah, when George passed away. In 2001, about 4 months after his passing, Liverpool did its own tribute to George, and there was a night at a place called the Empire Theatre in England, in Liverpool. And so what happened was all these bands came to pay tribute for him to George, and Paul turned up. He said basically to the organisers, "If you advertise that I'm coming, I won't come. But if you don't advertise that I'm coming, I'll come as a guest," type thing. And basically, he wanted the house full of George Harrison fans rather than people buying tickets. Oh, I know Paul's going to turn up. And so Paul was a complete surprise at the end of the night. He came out and sung Yesterday a cappella, and just, you know, and then he changed the lyrics instead of Why She Had to Go. He changed it to Why He Had to Go. And as we say in Liverpool, there wasn't a dry eye in the house, because even I was crying backstage, you know, listening to it. But I got to meet him, and I got complimented by him too. He said to me, "You look a bit like George." I said, "You look a bit like Paul." So we had a good laugh, you know.
It's got to be a bittersweet moment, just because obviously it's the passing of George Harrison, who everybody just adores, but also you get to meet Paul, and like the essentially the man that you're essentially covering in a way.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like a funeral. You go to a funeral expecting it to be all, you know, sadness, but then there's kind of funny moments during the day because you remember the funny parts about mm-hmm. the person, you know, and that's kind of what happened. You know, the day is set on a negative in a way because someone's passed away, but then halfway through the, you know, it's, again, everyone that's been to a funeral will start laughing at something mm-hmm. that person did. And then it kind of brings comfort because you do need to laugh at a funeral too, you know, like, you know, you need to laugh and remember the good parts. It's not all the passing of something bad, and that's what happened. He came over and I was like, yeah, it was a sad occasion with a lot of very happy moments about George Harrison. And we got a lot of information from Paul too. You know, he would say, like, he got on the bus two stops before George, and they would talk about music and draw pictures of the guitars and stuff and dream about being in a band, not realizing that a couple of years later they would probably be in the biggest band that ever existed.
I feel like when it comes to guitarists, we always talk about Jimmy Page, Jimi Hendrix, Randy Rhoads, like, as like some of the best guitarists. And I feel like George doesn't get a lot of credit as a great guitarist.
Yeah, he's kind of like Ringo, I think. Ringo doesn't get a lot of credit for being a good drummer, but a lot of times you have to play to the song if the song requires just very simple or simplicity, vocally or musically or drum percussive wise. You know, you're trying to play to that song to make it sound good within the song. So it's not really stretching you. You're not going to do any crazy solos. But I think George and Ringo are very, very, very professional in their complimenting ability in songs. You know, if you listen to In My Life, you listen to Ringo's drum style, it's just like dunk, dunk, dunk. It's very, very simple. And I've seen people on YouTube put like crazy drum solos on it. It's like, well, you just ruined the song. And I think George Harrison was very good at writing melodic solos. They didn't really need to be too crazy or too complicated to kind of like finish the song in a very good way. I mean, if you listen to the solo in Something, very, very kind of do 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 do. It's very, you can sing it. If you try to sing a Nuno Betancourt, you know, he's from Extreme. You try to sing one of his solos, it's just too complicated. Very good, very accomplished, but too complicated. And I think that's what people like George and Ringo get overlooked for their abilities to actually contribute the solo that was needed for the song.
What was the most difficult song for you to learn?
I think the most complicated song for me to learn was And Your Bird Can Sing. There's two lines going at the same time, and some people can do both of them at the same time, like a classical thing. I can't do both of them at the same time, but I can record one and then record over it. And so that's kind of a, you know, a finger exercise, really. But I like the solo to Let It Be, the single version. I like actually both solos are great. Both solos were done by George, and both have very different kind of like flavors to them. And I think that's one of the best solos, I think, in my opinion, that George did.
Dee Snider of Twisted Sister once said that he looked at the song Rebel Yell as like he wished that he wrote that song because he thought that it fit the Twisted Sister vibe. Is there a song that you look at and you just think, man, I think that could have been a great Beatles song?
Oh, there's a song called Lies. I don't know, it's by, but it goes, Lies, Lies. It kind of does that. And every time I hear it, I think that could have been a great early Beatles songs. And one of the songs that I used to listen to when I was a kid that I actually did believe was Ringo Starr was Sunny Afternoon by the Kinks. I think that would be like a dun 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 dun. He's got that kind of like cool descending bass line. And then it's got like almost a Ringo-esque, the tax man's taking all my dough. You know, it's kind of like got that cool Ringo kind of vibe to it. So I think Sunny Afternoon would have been a great one for Ringo to cover when he was with the Beatles.
Is there a song that you look at and you just kind of wish that, like, I wish we could perform this song a little bit more? Or is there like a, do you just kind of like go through like all the hits and you just like hit like a certain amount, like a certain set, excuse me?
Well, our flagship, what we call our flagship show, which we did for years, basically was all the hits. And then what happened was a couple of years ago, we started doing these themed shows for the winter season. We're the only Beatles tribute act to actually release a Christmas album, and the only Beatles tribute act to not do a Christmas show. It's very ironic. But we've been doing very themed, these themed shows. We started Rubber Soul and we did Meet the Beatles, and this season we're doing Help, as you mentioned before, all of the songs from that people recognize from the movie. So it's not all the songs on the albums. Occasionally there's a little bit of confusion because there was the English releases, you know, Rubber Soul or Help or whatever, with the English releases as different songs onto the American ones. So we just made it easy by saying, you know, the movie, yeah, that's the ones we're doing from the movie. And occasionally we'll throw in Act Naturally or something because Ringo and George didn't get that many songs. So we'll throw in a song or two from the album, but mostly it's the movie versions of songs.
Do you get offended when someone refers to you guys as a cover band and not a tribute band?
I always correct them. It's almost like I'm not offended. I just, there's a distinction between cover and tribute, and so the cover band can do whatever version you want. If you want to do a reggae version of you know, For No One, I'm looking forward to hearing that. You know, any sort of cover version can be their interpretation of the song, and that's a cover. But a tribute has to do the mistakes that they did on the record. So occasionally, you know, John and Paul might sing the wrong lyrics because they did these albums within a day or two. So they just basically were like, they're the lyrics, and they just have to sing it and play live, and they'd make mistakes. You know, Ringo plays an extra few snare hits on All My Lovin', coming back into the second verse, said a dun-ka, dun-ka. He goes, ka, 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 dun-ka. But we have to do that. We have to make the mistakes that the Beatles made on the records, so that people are basically, our Bible is that the needle hits the record, and that's the version we have to do, and that's the difference between a tribute. Plus, you know, we kind of dress up like them, and I know that a lot of people understand what a tribute is. Maybe there's still some people that don't understand, but we try to transport people back visually as well, rather than just doing the music and the mistakes that the Beatles made, singing live. Everything is played live by us, just the four of us. So if there's any like piano songs, then the George has to play piano, even though he didn't really play piano much. I think there's a scene in the Get Back sessions where he's playing a song for Ringo, but we have to play all the songs that we play in our show within the four of us, with no, you know, there's a few tricks, but there's nothing being played that isn't there. If that makes sense.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're essentially recreating in a way what you heard on the album. So it's one of the, like, you're not going to use like any of the fancy tricks. Like if you heard like the little scratch here, like you mentioned a few extra riffs here and there, like that's what you have to perform.
Yeah, we have to play everything live. I mean, right now with the algorithms and everything, you can't recreate. You can't take stuff from the album because the algorithm will find it. So all of the stuff that we've created has been created by the Fab Four organically. You know, the day in the life ending, you can't really play live, but we can play it where we recorded ourselves playing all the notes and we managed to put it on the end, but it's still us performing as many of the notes live as possible with that texture. If that makes sense.
You can see the Fab Four at the Florida Theater on December 14th, where they'll perform the music from the movie Help. Tickets on sale now. Gavin, before I let you go, I want to ask the same 10 questions I asked all my guests here. Are you ready?
I don't know. Hold up. Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. Excellent. These are inspired by the late, great James Lipton. What is the most played song on your playlist?
Here Comes the Sun.
Guilty Pleasure Band.
Crowded House.
Favorite song you like to belt it out to, no matter how good or how bad you sound?
I'd say David Bowie, Starman.
If you could eat one meal for a week, what is it?
I'd go for chicken tortilla soup.
Drink of choice?
Tito's Tidal Wave.
What's in a tidal wave?
It's kind of like a mixed drink. It's like a blue Hawaiian, but it's got like a sour mix in it instead of some other thing. It's kind of like a cocktail, but it tastes nice.
It sounds delicious. Favorite superhero?
I'd say Batman.
Favorite internet video?
Is that video? I've forgotten the girl's name, but she was on America's Got Talent or Britain's Got Talent, and she just belted out like a song that, in the end, you were like, she didn't look great, and she came on, she was like an old lady, and then she just like, I can't even think of the girl's name, but that's one of my favorite videos of all time.
Was that Susan Boyle?
Susan Boyle, yeah. I'm amazed. If I watch that, I have a happy day. If I wake up in the morning and I can see that video.
I remember watching that video as well and just being stunned by it. And I also remember, and I don't know if you remember this, they had an album party with her hashtag, and it was supposed to be hashtag Susan album party, but it didn't look like that. I'll let let your imagination go there. What are you watching on your streaming platforms?
Right now I'm watching Suits.
Oh, such a good series. I just wrapped that up not too long ago.
I've been told Meghan Markle isn't going to be in the later ones, and I'm like, you know what? She's great, like, because I've never seen her. I know I've only seen her with all the situation with the royal family and everything, and I'm like, you know, so I never really saw her as an actor, you know, before, but I'm like, she's quite good, you know? The show is pretty slick. You know, I love Game of Thrones and Breaking Bad. But right now I'm watching Suits, and every time I get like a couple of minutes, I'll watch a couple more. I don't understand what's going on, the legal side of it, a lot of the times. You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, just it sounds bad. But outside of that, I love the way that they both, or all four of the main characters, all work together to solve the problem.
And finally, Gavin Pring, give me your spiciest hot take.
I did have a thought. I don't know if it's a hot take, but I had a thought last night when I was at the barbecue, and I had this dog barking. I was barking for ages, and the thought was, do dogs ever get tired? Like, do they ever go, woof, 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 and go, you know what, bloody hell, I've been barking all day. That probably isn't going to be a spicy hot take, but it was just an observation that I had, because the dog was just, I was like, if I could be a singer with a dog's kind of like ability to just keep barking, I could just sing forever, you know what I mean? That's not really a hot take, something that's kind of controversial. I think that Ringo Starr could be the Prime Minister of England if he put his mind to it.
That's a really good hot take, and I can appreciate that. That's a really good one. I like how you just went from casual, like, dogs bark a lot, to, you know what? Ringo Starr for PM.
Yeah, my mind works a little weird, but the dog thing was like last night. I was just, why did he? I mean, I had dogs and they were the same. My dogs passed away a couple of years ago, but they would just go all day. I was like, you know, they never think, you know, I'm tired. I just kind of give me mouth a rest, but they just don't. They just keep going. So that was just an observation that I've thrown in there. That's the question 11. Have you got any crazy observations?
That's so good. You can see the Fab Four at the Florida Theater on December 14th. Tickets on sale now. Gavin Pring, thanks a lot for coming on.
Thank you, Chase. Thanks for having me, and we'll see you soon.